الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Praise be to Allah. We praise Him and we seek help from Him. We ask forgiveness from Him and we repent to Him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who has been guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's need guided. Anyone who has been misguided, he will never find a guardian to guide him. I bear witness that there is no deity except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, without any partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. O Allah, let your prayer, your peace, and your blessing be upon your servant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and all his companions. Continuation of the series of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ethics. Today's khutbah is about the propagation of the message and its stages that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through in Mecca during 13 years. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started his message secretly. Because if he was going to proclaim it loudly, the disbelievers are going to get rid of him quickly, without any effort. But he moved secretly, inviting his friends and his family members, and he made a base and roots for the message to spread and to move secretly first until he had enough followers to support him and to spread the message with him. It was two stages in the propagation of the Dawah. One of them, as I mentioned, in Mecca, and that took 13 years. And the second stage was in Medina, and it took 10 years. So the total messengerhood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 23 years. The 13 years of the Mecca also went through several stages. The first stage was a secret stage that was 3 years. And then he proclaimed his message among the inhabitants of Mecca. From the first it was secret, and then he proclaimed it publicly to the inhabitants of Mecca, starting from the fourth year until the end of the 10th year. And then the last stage was outside Mecca. So he went through stage, it was planned. Outside Mecca, from the 10th year until the 13th year, until he moved out from Mecca to Medina. So during these 13 years in Mecca, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companion suffered enough that you will not believe what much suffering that he went through for the sake of spreading the da'wah. The suffering went through several forms of torturing, forms of even killing some of the companions. And we're going to start with just how that proclamation of the message started, and then we'll just take it one step at a time. And we'll know that the people who first helped Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, number one was his prophet, was his wife, the mother of the believers, Khadija, who supported him from the beginning. That's number one. So she was the first woman to become Muslim. And then after that, his friend and companion was Abu Bakr. He was the second, with the first day of the Dawah, Khadija and Abu Bakr and Ali and Zayd ibn Haritha, who was adopted son, but before, after that Islam nullified the adoption. But these are the four people that who became Muslim at the first day. From when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them about it, they accepted it, and Abu Bakr started to spread the Islam among his friends who, and trusted people that knew him. So Ali ibn Abu Talib, he was living in the house of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Prophet Muhammad was living. He, since Abu Talib has too many children, so Prophet Muhammad took Ali ibn Abu Talib to live with him, and he brought him up. So as soon as he asked him, told him about Islam, so first he said, let me talk to my father. But he came back and he said, well, when Allah created me, he did not ask the opinion of my father. Now I believe in you, I trust you, and he declared his Islam immediately. And the Zayd ibn Haritha, he was a servant to Khadija. And Khadija gave Zayd to Prophet Muhammad, and he was treated from Prophet Muhammad enough that Zayd preferred, when Zayd was taken whatever way, was taken from his father, and his father was looking for him all over. And when he found his father, his real father, his biological father, knew about Zayd, that he was Prophet Muhammad, he came and asked him to give him his son back. So Prophet Muhammad told him, yes, I can give your son back, but let's ask him, let's ask Zayd what he wanted to do. So Zayd, that was before the messengerhood, Zayd chose to stay with Prophet Muhammad than to go with his father. And that was shocking news for his father, for his son to know that he preferred to stay with Prophet Muhammad and not to go back with his father. And at that time, immediately when that happened, Prophet Muhammad, before messengerhood, adopted Zayd. But after Islam, the Islam nullified adoption, and just because he was a dear companion to Prophet Muhammad. So Zayd ibn Haritha became Muslim, and immediately. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq declared Islam among his friends, and the first one who accepted Islam also was Uthman ibn Affan, and Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, and Abdurrahman ibn Auf, وسعد بن أبي وقاص وطلحة بن عبيد الله. These are the people that who became Muslim first, right away, without any thinking, since they believed deeply in the truthfulness of and trustworthiness of Prophet Muhammad, so they believed right away. And then there was a slave to Umayyah. His name was Bilal ibn Rabah. He was from Habasha. And he, we learn about Islam, he believed in Islam immediately too, although he was suffering more than anybody else because he was a slave, and his master was torturing him in the heat of the desert of Mecca. He used to put a huge piece of rock on his chest and told him, we're going to leave you until you die unless you disbelieve in Muhammad and you come back to our religion. And he used to say his famous word, Ahadun Ahad, with only Allah, and no God except Allah. So Bilal became Muslim, and also other companions like Al-Arqam ibn Al-Arqam, and many others, people that follow Islam secretly. So this group declared Islam secretly, and still Prophet Muhammad was teaching them Islam also secretly. Again, for the sake of keeping the disbelievers from hurting them from the beginning. So he used to meet these Muslim companions in one of the houses of the companions, his name was Arqam ibn al-Arqam, and the slowly the people, the disbeliever of Mecca knew about the Islam, but they did not care much at the beginning. Who said he's going to be just one of these people that was talking about new religion like previous people. So it was just like kind of a time and it was fed away. It's an example of people that don't take things seriously, but then when they found that Prophet Muhammad was seriously declaring Islam and step by step people following him, and that was threatening the whole business of Mecca and the whole business of the head of the tribes of Mecca. Because basically the head of the tribes was controlling the people who come to do Hajj in Al-Kaaba, and that was a business itself. The selling this idols and the taking care of, they are in control, because they are the one who to say what to be said, and they are in control. But when Prophet Muhammad will come with a new message, that will be over. You will not have any control. And that was a threatening to his position, their positions, and their wills too. So secretly, Islam was spreading among people from different tribes in Mecca. And many of them was weak people. They are not too strong, but some of them were strong, like Abu Bakr, who was famous and he was merchant and he was respected among the old Meccans. But many of the people like Bilal ibn Rabah or Ammar ibn Yasir and other was weak, and he was very tortured and punished to no extent. So in the beginning, at that time, there was no, before the Isra and Mi'raj, was no prayers mandatory. It was only, the only prayer like what we have now was only before dawn and Fajr and before sunset. So, and this is how Angel Jibril taught Prophet Muhammad how to do the Salah and how to make wudu. That was the first step. Salah was not only only these two times, before dawn and before the sunset. So when Angel Jibril was training Prophet Muhammad how to practice Islam, and Prophet Muhammad in turn was to training his companion how to do that, so the people of Mecca learned about it, that it is going increasingly. So they talked to his uncle Abu Talib. But Abu Talib, when he learned about, he loved his nephew Prophet Muhammad, and well, he did not believe in his message, but he supported him all the way. And Abu Talib saw his son, who was Ali, and the Prophet Muhammad was praying. And when he saw them praying, he asked them to stay firm. So, and he supported them from the beginning, although he did not follow the religion. So the news became loudly in Mecca that Islam is spreading, and the business and the wealth and the prestige of the Meccans was in danger. So during these 3 years of secret, and after that moving to declaration of Islam, the leaders of Mecca, who was just went out of control, tried to stop this message from spreading from the beginning, because it's basically going to demolish all the wealth and all the prestige that they have all over the Arabian tribes. So when the proclamation of Islam became publicly, that was the order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after 3 years to warn his family members. That was the first step, to warn his family members. وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. This was the first order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Sayyidina Muhammad to declare his message out of being secret. So, but during this, within this surah, the surah Ash-Shu'ara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated about the story of Prophet Musa and what he been through with his people and all the stages that he suffered through his message. So this was like a preparation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Sayyidina Muhammad to be prepared for the hardship that he's going to go through during this messengerhood. So the first time Prophet Muhammad declared his message to his family members, that was he asked his uncles and cousins from Bani Hashim and Bani Abd Manaf and Abdul Muttalib to come, and it was about 45 of them. They came and he invited them. And since they know, especially their his uncles, Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl, knew about this message, so immediately Abu Lahab told him, "We are here, your uncles and your family members, and you're going to put us in trouble among the Arab tribes. So you better not, and leave us alone or leave us without that trouble." So since Prophet Muhammad did not have the chance to talk, he did not mention anything at this time and let that go. That was the first meetings with his family members. So he invited them one more time. The second time, he prepared and he gave a small speech. He said, "Alhamdulillah, ahmaduhu wa astaeenuhu wa aumun bihi wa atawakkul alayh. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah." And he said, "Inna ar-ra'ida la yakdhibu ahluhu wallahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa inni rasulullah ilaykum khassa wa ila an-nasi 'amma wallahu latamutanna kama tanamun wa latub'athanna kama tastayqizun wa latuhasabna kama bima ta'malun wa innaha al-jannatu abadan aw an-naru abadan." That was the first statement that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated to his family members when he gathered them. And that was, alhamdulillah, thank God, and I believe in Allah, I depend on Allah, and I believe that no God except Allah, and in الرائد لا يكذب أهله, the leader will not lie on his people. And I warn you, or I tell you that I am the messenger of Allah to you specifically, and to all people publicly. And you're going to die as you're going to sleep. And you're going to resurrect it as you're going to wake up from sleep, and you're going to be held accountable of what you have done during your life. And it is the paradise forever or the hellfire forever. That was the first warning. So Abu Talib responded back. He said, "We love to help you, and we're going to advise you. And I am the one who's going to, I love you most, and I will advise you most. Go ahead in your message." Although, keep in mind that Abu Talib didn't believe in him. "Go ahead in your message. And I swear that I'm going to protect you. And I'm going to help you, and no one going to reach you while I'm alive." That was the promise that Abu Talib gave Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But although he told him, "But I cannot leave the religion of Abdul Muttalib." So he told him, "I'm going to protect you, I'm going to help you, but I'm still in my religion." But Abu Lahab responded. This was the gathering, the first gathering, the second gathering now. Abu Lahab responded, "This is a shame that you should take digs against Muhammad now before the Arab going to take it against him." But Abu Talib responded, he said, "We're going to protect him as long as we are alive." That was the second meeting between the nearest relatives of Prophet Muhammad. Then after that, when Abu Talib promised that he's going to protect Prophet Muhammad during his messengerhood, he went to Jabal, mountain of Safa. And instead of just declaring the message to his nearest family members, he declared it to all Quraysh. So he called and asked the people to come from all over. He called all the tribes by names. And Abu Lahab came along. And Prophet Muhammad told him, are you going to believe me if I tell you that there's an enemy behind the mountain coming to attack you? He said, yes, if you said that, we will believe you because we never had any lie from you. Okay, yes, I am the Prophet of Allah to you. And I'm warning you. And when he said that, Abu Lahab said his famous word, Tabban laka sa'ir al-yawm. And that's how that surah, small surah of Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab wa Tab, descended. So this was the third the declaration about the messengerhood. Now, that was loud clear about the message of Islam in Mecca. And before, as I mentioned, the leader was taking that message not seriously. He knew in the beginning, thought that he's just one going to disappear after a while like others before. But when he knew that this is coming, he's firmly believe in what he's declaring, and people follow him time after time, then it was kind of a warning for all of them, and they should take steps to stop that at the beginning, to kill that message from the beginning. It was like a volcano, or like a thunder, it was like a revolution in Mecca. And all the leaders didn't know what to do. They were just looking everywhere of ways to stop Prophet Muhammad from spreading his message. So but now they are between situation that here is this Prophet Muhammad, he is known, he's been honest, never lied, he has all the excellent qualities in a man that nobody had any problems with about his character. And about the message that he brought that's going to destroy their prestige and their wealth. So what they did, since they knew that Abu Talib is protecting him, so they started with Abu Talib. They had meetings and they gathered groups and they sent the representatives to Abu Talib to ask them to stop Muhammad from what he's doing because it's going to destroy all Mecca's prestige and wealth. And Abu Talib, of course, from his heart, he's defending his nephew, but he talked to them nicely and they went away. And that's the beginning of the clash between the leaders of Mecca and Prophet Muhammad publicly and firstly and violently. Since they did not find any response from Abu Talib, and that was a kind of a warning that is not going to solve peacefully, and Muhammad is not going to stop spreading his message, so they start preparing for a serious steps to stop the message of Islam from spreading. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم أدعو الله عسى أن تكون هذه ساعة إجابة. Supplicate, may Allah accept our supplication at this time. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. So as we mentioned in the previous khutbah about the ethics of patience, and we did not finish all what's been said about that, so, and in relation to what Prophet Muhammad and his companion about to encounter, so he was asked to be patient, because patience is the only way for them to stay and to remain and to continue in this. So in the ethic of patience, what Prophet Muhammad stated about the patience it's unbelievable that how much reward when you follow that these words of Prophet Muhammad, what you're going to get out of being patient. So several in a hadith with sunnah, and sunnah either explicit words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or approving words from the companions, or approving acts from the companions. So someone was blind, came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked him to pray for Allah to give his sight back. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, if you wish, I can pray for you. But if you also like, you can be patient, and that's better for you. So that he gave him the two options. I can pray for you to get your sight back, or if you be patient, that would be much better for you. And he prayed for him to make Allah to make life easier for him, and ask him to state some words. اللهم إني أسألك وأتوجه إليك بنبيك محمد نبي الرحمة إني توجهت بك إلى ربي في حاجتي هذه لتقضى لي اللهم شفعه لي. When you ask Allah سبحانه وتعالى, ask him with the sake of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and that was it's all about. If you ask about something, that you ask for the sake of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, so Allah may accept your supplication and will make what you wish that you wanted to. A second hadith, when Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم asked the helpers to be patient, because patience is going to be more rewarding for them, because they saw the helpers. So the Prophet Muhammad giving provisions more to the newcomer to Islam, but he did not give them. But he advised him to be patient, because patience is much better than this material life provisions. And also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Ibn Abbas, "Do you like to see a woman from the paradise?" There was a woman coming, approached them. So he told him, "Do you like to see a woman from the paradise?" This woman is from the paradise. And this woman to ask Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pray for her, because she lose her mind, and while she's losing her mind, she gets naked, and she was concerned about that. So he also told her, "I can pray for you, or you can be patient, and the paradise is for you." And she told him, "I will be patient, but pray for me not to get naked while I'm losing my mind." And he prayed for her clothes not to be taken away from her while she's in that status. And she got that reward of getting to the paradise to be patient with just whatever test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, and you be patient with it, the reward is for you, al-Jannah. Also, عن محمود بن لبيد أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا أحب الله قوما ابتلاهم. When Allah سبحانه وتعالى loves someone, you will test them. And when they test, when you get patient, when you be patient, then you get reward. And when you don't be patient, then you commit sins when you do other things other than being patient. And also, other hadith, and Abi Huraira said that the month of Ramadan is the month of patience. When you are fasting, you require to be patient, not to eat food, not to do anything lawful. And also he said that the month of Ramadan, and also 3 days a month, within which the 13 and the 14 and the 13 and 14 and 15th, every month in the middle of the month, when you do this, then you fast in the whole life. When you fast Ramadan, and you fast 3 days, 13, 14, 15, because 13, 14, 15, and the one hasana equal 10, this means that equal that you prepare, you fast in the whole month. When you keep it that system, then you fast Ramadan and three from every month, this means like you fast forever. And also, Prophet Muhammad said, "الطاعم الشاكر بمنزلة الصائم الصابر." When you feed the needy, when you thank Allah, it's like you fasting, and also you are patient. So this is you get the reward. You when you know about all this, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way, then you get rewards more than you think. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "عجباً لأمر المؤمن إن أمره كله خير وليس لذلك أحد إلا المؤمن." Everything for the believer is good. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests him and he was patient, that reward for him. And if he was so all the time when the Muslim believer will be patient, he will get reward. Other hadith that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated is about when he was advising Ibn Abbas. It was long hadith, and that's from that hadith when he told him, "وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ فِي الصَّبْرِ عَلَى مَا تَكْرَهُ خَيْرٌ كَثِيرًا." Know that when you be patient of what you don't like, you're going to get reward more than you ever think. And the victory is with patience. And always rewards come with patience. And I'm going to end with the most patient ever is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, his creations and their acquisition, that he has a son and he's still. Give them provision, give them food, give them health, give them air to breathe, and all. He hid it by himself. And all this, and he's patient with them until the day of resurrection, everybody will be held accountable. ليس أحد أو ليس شيء أصبر على أذى سمعي من الله. إنهم لا يدعون له ولدا وإنه لا يعافيهم ويرزقهم. They claim that Allah has a son, and he cured them, and he gave provision for them. O Allah, help us to purify ourselves in body, mind, and heart, and spirit. Help us to seek and find your good pleasure. And O Allah, remember us in the company of your beloved angels. O Allah, do not let our hearts deviate from the truth now and that we have been guided, but grant us mercy from your very presence, for you are the grantor of bounties without measure. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم وأخر الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.